This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for joining me. I just love this. I want to pray for Father Kylie, who was just with us. I also want to pray, Keely, I should say. I also want to pray for the Holy Father, for our persecuted brothers and sisters, too. In various parts of the world, I was, if you're just joining me earlier in the program, I was talking a little bit about immigration at the border. And earlier today, I just took a shot at, not a shot, I took a look at a picture, a shot of how some of the people live. And it's just absolutely amazing what a difference there is between your American life and those who have a lot less than us. I want to pray for so many of these issues that threaten the dignity of the human person and this cancel culture and all these other moral problems that face us. And I'd ask you to pray for me that God has given me a very unique platform that I'll have both wisdom and intelligence and eloquence and the ability to communicate what the Holy Spirit really wants, to give a moral perspective on so many of these complicated issues. I know Satan doesn't like this, as we were talking to Father just a moment ago about the persecuted church. Where else are you going to hear that? You're not going to turn on ABC or CBS or NBC and get a conversation like that. So pray for me, all right? And I promise I'm going to be praying for you, and I mean that. I pray for you every day. I was at Mass this morning at 9 o'clock, and you were right there with me with the Eucharist. So I'm glad to do it, too. I feel close to you because of that. I feel a connection to you spiritually. And I hope you'll join me on Monday. I can't mention it today, but I want to share something with you Monday that it's kind of big news. Okay, I'm gonna share it with you on Monday during the chapel. I want you to be the very first to hear about it. Okay, and I could have announced it earlier, some other point in the day, but I said to the network, I said, look, I want to tell my spiritual family here the news first. I want them the first. So Monday, be sure and tune in. Okay, be sure and join me for the chapel. Set a reminder on your phone right now. Okay. So you can go ahead and do that. Grateful to be with Beth as well. She's in studio with me praying. She's our creative service director. Beth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew.
Anything you would like to pray for before we start the chaplet?
Just for the intentions of our listeners and then our colleagues too at Relevant Radio. And then also for anyone suffering with a skin condition or condition of the skin for healing.
What a great prayer. Thank you. It's an intention. Of all the years we've been praying, this has come up very, very rarely. But a lot of people are afflicted by that. So, Lord, we ask for that. Heal the body and many of its aches. This person wrote to me, hey, Drew, I asked a couple of weeks ago about my children who are hating each other due to different views and my daughter becoming more and more swayed to the left and not praying. Thank you for your prayers. That weekend that I asked for prayers, my son, he humbled himself. And he went up and he talked to my daughter. They're now talking. It's not quite like it was before, and that still breaks my heart. But I'm asking more prayers for my daughter, and it will be much easier if my husband professes his faith, and we're still praying for his conversion. So, and I love that intention. She goes on asking for a few more intentions here. But, God does hear prayers. And sometimes conversion is instantaneous. Sometimes it's like a cruise ship. It takes a long time to turn around, but the process is beginning. And prayer is, the prayer of conversion is one of those prayers that I'm convinced is always heard, that God will give that soul the grace and the opportunity to turn to him and to accept him. Of course, he'll always respect their free will. Let's pray right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for your needs. And let's begin as we do every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Our first call today comes from Lynn, listening to us in St. Louis Park, Minnesota. Hi, Lynn. Welcome.
Thank you, Drew, for your wonderful ministry. I know we have many prayers that have been answered through this ministry, mm-hmm. and I'd like to first offer thanksgiving for answered prayer for my brother who had malignant melanoma over 10 years ago and was miraculously cured from it. That was through prayers from family. This was before I had worked with the Divine Mercy. But I'm asking for a miracle. He now has squamous cell, carcinoma of the tongue, and all the difficulty that may come with that, and he's going to have surgery on the 9th next week and have part of his tongue resected.
Wow.
So I'm asking for a miracle here that that God guides the hands of the people taking care of him and brings healing both physically, spiritually, and emotionally.
Wow. All right, well, let's pray. That's a big surgery that will impact him profoundly. Let's pray for that healing. I love it, Lynn. You know what came to my mind when you were asking about that? There is a great saint who I turn to a lot for intercession. I never turned to him for this. It's St. Anthony of Padua. And the reason I say that, he was such a great orator. You know, that God, when St. Anthony finally died, he was a great preacher, one of the great, great preachers. His body decayed, you know, and it, like all of ours will, except for two parts of his body. His tongue and his principles in the church, these bodies that somehow defy the decay of death, that God chooses to preserve them. So since his tongue remains, you know, incorrupt, let's ask him to intercede and protect in a special way your brother. So we'll turn to him. I'm always turning to Father Ubald, who had a gift for healing, and seeing as we intercede before the Heavenly Father for Lynn and her intentions, for her brother in particular, for those facing skin problems, tongue problems, any problem of the organ, any cancer. Lord, any ailment of the body right now I bring to you, and I ask for miracles. I beg you for miracles. Let this testify to your great glory as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you, Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Al. He's listening in Wisconsin. Hi, Al. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call.
Drew,
my grandchildren, I got two great-grandchildren that are not going to be, are not baptized. And my one granddaughter, of course, is does not believe in God whatsoever, and she went and got more tattoos on her body. And it's just sickening and disgusting. And you really, you know, as a grandparent, you really can't say too much about this stuff, you know. And we all call them problems. So I just hope to the Lord that someday she turns her life around. And it's not easy. It really isn't.
Yeah, well, I know you love her, and I know you're concerned. And, you know, the culture today is a little bit different. I mean, many, many people have tattoos today. I know it might bother you, but let's pray most importantly for her conversion in general. I know that's your greatest concern here, Al, for your grandchildren who don't believe in God, who are away from the faith. And you're not alone. There are a lot of parents right now like you who know God and love Him and are in similar situations. So they're going to pray for your granddaughter right now. And I want to pray for you. And then I pray for Al, for all of his personal needs. Sounds like a wonderful man and a great grandfather, and I thank you for him. And I just entrust to you now his granddaughter, and I pray in particular, I pray for the prayer of conversion, and I give you our children, our sons, our daughters, our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren, our siblings, our spouses, our parents, nor whoever may be our friends. I know you hear this prayers. God wants our God wants our loved ones' salvation more than we do. More than we do. So pray with confident hope, okay? I am convinced. Jesus told St. Faustina, he said, call upon my mercy on behalf of sinners, on behalf of those who do not know me. He says, I desire their salvation. And he says, when you pray with a contrite heart, when you pray with faith on behalf of these souls, he says, I will give them the grace of conversion. I'll give them the grace of conversion. So if you desire heaven for someone, let me just say this to you. God desires it even more. So with confidence, I'm going to pray for those graces to reach those souls you're now praying for and those that I am now giving to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer, because I know it resonates before your throne. Eternal Father, we offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, John's in Racine, Wisconsin, listening to us and praying with us there. Hi, John.
Hey, Drew. I just have a couple of quick contentions. Sure. I'd like to pray for my uncle, who has been away from the church for many years. And also, I'd like to pray that I can find a better job.
All right. Those are great. Those are short. Let's pray for them both, okay? John, thank you. I would lift up your financial needs in particular. And again, we bring this intention of those who are away from the faith. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for our free will. I just ask that you give us a super abundance of grace, especially those who don't know you, the opportunity to come to know you. Put the right circumstance or the right individual in their path that they may come to know God. I've seen conversion happen in the most hardened souls. I've seen conversion happen in souls who for decades rejected God. So I'm convinced that this prayer is heard. And I want you to never stop praying. Do it with faith and confidence and trust in God. And know that God will give those souls those graces. You might not see it, but I guarantee you the Lord will reach that soul. All right, so let's pray for that. Lord, I pray for those underemployed and unemployed, those in miserable jobs right now, those drowning in debt, those finding no way out, overcome by anxiety and fear because of their economics. And I just ask that you bless and provide and surprise in ways that only you can. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Helen is listening and praying with us in Los Angeles, City of the Angels. Hi, Helen. Good afternoon.
Yeah. I just want for everyone to pray for my daughter. She's having some medical issues, and we're not sure exactly where it's coming from, but I'd like everyone to pray for her for healing, complete healing.
All right. Great prayer. Helen, we got your daughter. All right. And we're going to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for all those with medical issues, with complications of health, with undiagnosed problems, those who have an inordinate fear of going to the doctor or of surgery. I want to pray for those souls. I do pray for those complicated, bewildering issues that physicians can't seem to get their finger on, and that may become manifest. I pray for those with medication problems. Lord, I give you the body. I give you the mind as well, those who suffer with anxiety and depression, those who have bipolar disorders. Lord, I give you those who are manic. I give you the brokenhearted. I give you the emotional scars that many have. And I just ask that in particular, you hear these prayers of healing as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Eugene, Oregon. Mary Lou, thanks for dialing in. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I need some prayers for some friends of mine. Wayne Hansen, dear friend, was diagnosed recently with an evil tumor called glioblastoma. It's a fast-growing tumor that's growing in his brain, and it's pretty nasty. He's lost the ability to speak and move on one side and so on. The doctor says if I operate, it's going to kill you. If I give you chemo or radiation, it's going to kill you. So it's one of those impossible situations that I want to lift before the Lord and ask everybody to join me in. He's being well taken care of by his family, but they could sure use some prayers.
All right. I'll pray for you too, Mary Lou. Thank you for bringing this to us. And I know you have a heart full of intention, so bring them before the Lord as well. And Mary Lou, you know, I've been praying to Father Seraphim Michalenko, who is the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina, and his cause hasn't been opened yet, but I really do believe these saints, these men and women who've lived lives of heroic virtue, do intercede, and maybe it'll be a miracle to help move things forward for him, but who knows. Lord, I entrust you now, Mary Lou. I give to you her friend with this life-threatening ailment where there is no other alternative. There is no option but your divine touch. That is it. And if it be your will, we do ask for a great miracle here, a miracle that will testify to your love, to your mercy, to the power and promises of this prayer. And I submit this soul to you, Lord, and I entrust them completely to your divine will. I pray for those women now contemplating abortion, those contemplating suicide, those battling addictions, those in troubled marriages, Lord, those most in need of your mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Anthony of Padua,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopotchko,
pray for us.
Father Seraphim Mikalenko,
pray for us.
All you holy souls in purgatory,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beth, thank you for praying with me, and thank you for praying with me as well. Just once again, I hope you'll join me on Monday. Okay, I have a really big announcement to share with you. Okay, and I'm going to wait to share it with you in this particular time. So Monday, at this hour of divine mercy, I'll share that with you, and then we'll pray.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
It's right about this point that people get distracted. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 15th Lenten lesson on the Mass. After the first reading comes the responsorial psalm. And if you're not paying close attention to the first reading, you'll get distracted at this point and you'll need to regain your concentration. So grab your missalette and do the response. Every day we have a psalm during the readings at Mass. And because the congregation participates in the singing or chanting of the psalm by repeating a selected phrase, we call this a response, hence responsorial psalm. King David composed many of the psalms, and there's 150 in all. It's remarkable that even though these psalms are composed thousands of years ago, we see that human nature hasn't changed during the course of time. The creature hungers for his creator, repents of his sins, longs for protection and the goodness of the Lord.
One of the three pillars of Lent is prayer. So make this your best Lent yet by joining Father Rocky for the Family Rosary Across America every evening at 7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, thanks for joining me here. It's a delight to be able to hang out with you and just take a look at life, not just what's happening in the world and the culture, but especially in our faith. And again, mark your calendar, set your phone, set a quick alarm. When we pray the chapel, I do want to share something that is for you, and it'll be for me too. It'll be something I want to announce to you. This coming Monday, okay? So spread the news and get everybody plugged in. You know, I know that you've been chosen and I've been chosen to live at this particular moment in history. God has called us in these times of incredible trial. And, you know, we're talking about the eradication of gender. We're talking about the Equality Act. We talk about the funding that's going to Planned Parenthood in this COVID bailout bill, $50 million to help kill children. We're taking a look at the crisis at the border. I mean, there's so much stuff going on in the culture, right? But I look at what the crosshairs of the evil one is doing. Where's it aimed? It's aimed at both life, the most vulnerable in the womb, and it's also aimed at family. You know, it was back several years ago that Cardinal Caffara of Bologna, Italy, he shared a letter that was written by Sister Lucia dos Santos. And in this letter, she warned, and this is quoted by the Cardinal, Sister Lucia said, there's going to come a time when the decisive confrontation between the kingdom of God and Satan will take place over marriage and family. And I'm thinking, man, was that prescient? Was that prophetic? Was that, you know, visionary? There will come a time when the decisive confrontation between the kingdom of God and Satan will take place over marriage and family. He said that in a speech that Sister Lucia had personally written to him. She wrote a letter to him, and you know, I'm going to have the head of the World Apostle of Fatima stop by because I want his take on this time. Are we experiencing, are we living in the era that Sister Lucia saw, where there will be a final confrontation between the evil one and Our Lady? It's a battle not just over humans, but it's a battle of principalities. Those words were in a letter years ago. I think it was the 1980s or so, and they resonate today. I mean, look, take a look at where we are. We have got the divorce rate, premarital sex, the replacement of marriage, people living together, cohabitation rights are through the roof, porn is common. It's, you know, it's in every household. It's on kids' phones. You've got the redefinition of marriage. People, you know, men marrying men, women marrying women. You have gender neutralization, transsexualism, and all this is normal. All this is a right, right? All this is the way it should be. No. What's black is white today. What's white is black. Ooh, this is all out of kilter. And you know what? That's Satan. He's a deceiver. He takes something that's good and he mutates it. He twists it. He defames it. Marriage is good. You know, marriage is good. Life is good. But for her to say that Satan was, and I love this line, he was, quote, in the mood for a decisive battle. That was back in 1957 during a conversation with a priest named Father Alonso Fuentes. And this is what Sister Lucia told me. He said, Father, the devil is in the mood, she said to him. Father, the devil's in the mood for engaging in a decisive battle against the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the devil knows what it is that most offends God, and which in a short space of time will gain for him the greatest number of souls. She says, thus the devil does everything to overcome souls consecrated to God, because in this way the devil will succeed in leaving the souls of the faithful abandoned by their leaders. Thereby, the more easily will he seize them. This is the moment I believe we are living in. It's a decisive battle, Sister Lucia said. It is a decisive battle. It's one in which one side or the other wins. So are we in the throes of the final battle? And not a battle for humans, but spiritual forces in high places, as Ephesians 6 says, right? There's also those very prophetic words of the Fatima Pope, St. John Paul II, who, you know, he visited Fatima many times. In fact, last time I was there, I looked at the very bullet that pierced his body and should have taken his life. It hangs in the crown of Our Lady. He placed it there, and he believes she saved his life. She was the one who helped bring about the fall of communism as we know it. He beatified two of the seers. He released the third secret, right? I mean, think about John Paul, man. What a blessing to have him. He not only conducted the final missing piece of the requested consecration, but also before he was Pope, during a visit to New York City in 1976, I was a young kid. I remember this. I saw him when he landed at the airport. My school went to greet him. He says, we are now, this is what John Paul says. He says, we are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through. I don't think that wide circles of American society or wide circles of Christian communities realize this, he said. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, the gospel versus the anti-gospel. That was John Paul II. And one final thought here, and then we can talk about this. Just one final word or two from this great saint. He too was a visionary. He too saw what was coming. He too was the tip of the spear in this great time in which we live in, battling against these dark, demonic, nefarious forces. He said, we must be prepared to undergo great trials in the not too distant future. He said this in 76, right? Trials that will require us to be ready to give up our lives and a total gift of self to Christ and for Christ. I often think of Cardinal George and what he said. You know, he made that prophecy about how he'll die in his bed. His successor will you know, end up die in prison, and after that, you know, his other successor will be persecuted or martyred. I think is the word he used, martyred. John Paul II saying to you and to me, be ready. You might have to give up your lives. You are going to be called to a total gift of self to Christ and for Christ. He went on, he said, through your prayers and mine, it's possible. It is possible if we pray, if we sacrifice, if we do what the Fatima seers did, right? It is possible to alleviate this tribulation, but it's no longer possible, he says, to avert it. How many times has the renewal of the church been brought about in blood? It will not be different this time, John Paul II says. So there you have it. I mean, we can go on. I could talk to you an hour about this. I'm concerned about this Equality Act, another attack on human sexuality, on life, and on family, and on so many other issues. I'm concerned about all that's happening in the culture. But John Paul II gave us the solution. You know, we can mitigate. We can alleviate this. You know, we can at least reduce by our response. I hope enough people do that. I know one man who has been carrying on this message of Our Lady of Fatima and trying to raise awareness to it. A lot of people think, oh, Fatima, that was 100 years ago. It's over 100 years now. I think it's more relevant today than it has ever been. And thank God Our Lady came when she did. We saw the proof of her prophecies. They came to fruition about the rise of atheistic communism, the Holy Father having much to suffer, and all that she prophesied. And now we see the time in which we're living. I think Our Lady's the solution. I really do. I think it's not too late. And that's why I want to talk to you about a couple things, in particular, First Friday, First Saturday devotion, because I think that is one of those things we could do to change the course of time. David Carolla joins me right now. He's a friend. He is, of course, as I pointed out, the head. He's the president of the, what's your official title, Dave? CEO of the World Apostle of Fatima, president. What do you go by?
Executive director, but yes. Okay.
There you go.
A little bit of everything.
I love it. Chief bottle washer, right?
There you go. Cleaner. You got it.
Yeah. I love it.
That's right.
Now, I appreciate what you do, and I'm personally drawn to Fatima. There's an anointing. It's one of the greatest apparitions in the past 2,000 years. It ranks up there with Guadalupe. And I don't think that these messages of Our Lady faded with the rise of the Second World War. In fact, I think they ring louder today. And I do think what John Paul II says is that we are facing a unique time in history. And I don't want to be apocalyptic, but you know, we look at the 20th century and how the faithful have suffered. I talked about the Holy Father's visit to Iraq, how that remnant church is suffering there. Are we facing, in your opinion, this final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, as John Paul said, between the gospel and the anti-gospel? If you pull back, I would probably argue yes, but I'd love your take.
Well, what are we facing, Drew? I mean, you know, and great to be with you again. Thanks for having me on. What are we facing? We are facing the consequences, just as you pointed out, as St. Pope John Paul II said, you know, it was no longer possible to totally bypass the consequences, no matter how our actions were. Many acts of reparation were made, you know, but again, the church must be cleansed, and it will be cleansed in blood. Keeping in mind, there are more people martyred for the faith in the last 100 years than in all of the years of Christianity combined. But it's funny you mentioned the statement of Cardinal George about dying in his bed, his successor in prison, his successor a martyr in a public square. The fourth part of that is more profound than ever. They don't talk about that. The fourth part of what he said is, but his successor will help pick up the pieces of a broken society and rebuild it as the church has done for the last 2,000 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's more profound, in my opinion, because that brings out the fact that the church, and that's us, and of course, the official church, we will bring back truth and justice to the world. And the Fatima message is the core of it. I mean, you know, are we in the final? The word final, okay, yes.
Right.
Is it the end of the world? No, I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form. The late Father Benedict Rochelle of the Franciscan Friars was asked one time, is the end of the world coming soon? And his response was, could we be that lucky? Okay. the reality is, we have to go on. Okay. And you know, others would say, late Father John Harden always said, you know, we have to see the conversion of Islam, the conversion of China. All these things will come, but you know, and that is all part of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart, as I see it. Okay, so that's why our mission, as we were told to work for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart when Sister Lucia gave us that devotion, and we work hard for that, and that's where the First Saturday's devotion is so powerful. Because when enough people have committed themselves to doing the First Saturdays, we say the five First Saturdays to meet the requirements, but no, beyond that, okay? Continue doing it. Devote your lives, devote your work to fulfilling the First Saturdays for yourself, for your families, for others. When enough people are doing that, we will be granted that triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And that's why I truly believe it is a difficult time, and everything you're talking about, Drew, is gut-wrenching for me, for you, because we were making strides in many ways, and a lot is just being knocked down right now, because I believe that the devil's time is so limited, and again, it's always darkest right before the dawn. And
that's
here
so
we
true.
Are, you know, and we are really, you know, and we're fighting it. We have to continue. We have to be loyal. We have to be persistent, okay, persevere to the end. We always pray for what? Perseverance. And now it's being tested. It should really, really be tested. So we need to fight it.
Well, my guest is Executive Director of the World Apostle, Fatima David Carollo. If you want to join us, I'll open the phones. Feel free to dial in. If you've got a question, a comment, an experience, a view, a theory, anything goes. It's always good to have you be part of the conversation. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. David, let me take a short pause. When we come back,
great.
I want to get people plugged into these First Saturday devotions, because, again, there's going to be a number of people who've never heard of this before, but they are powerful. What our Lord revealed about them is powerful. Why we should embrace them will be transforming. So stay with us. I'm going to give you a spiritual tool that you may want to engage in this Lent and, well, really for the rest of your life, okay? It's also the year of St. Joseph. We'll tell you a little bit about that and a great event that Dave's involved with, too. All that and more coming right up.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. You know, this is a beautiful season, Lent. And during this season, you know, the questions of certain devotions arise. And I saw somebody write about this not too long ago. They asked the question as to whatever happened to our Blessed Mother's request at Fatima for First Saturday devotion. And you might not be alone if you're saying, I don't even know what that is. What are you talking about, First Saturday devotion? You know? I get it. A lot of people don't know what that is all about. It is a powerful devotion. It is a beautiful one. It's one that was requested by heaven. And I'm joined by David Carollo. He is the Executive Director of the Blue Army or the World Apostle of Fatima. And he joins us today to get you up to speed on this. There's some great things that are unfolding this Lent you can get connected to him with as well. And I'll get you all that info too. But David, let's start here. For those who don't know, First Saturday devotion, what did, you know, what's asked of us and what's heaven requesting?
Well, it's what did Our Lady ask? This was in December 10th of 1925 in Pontevedra, Spain, at the convent where Lucia was a novice. She was a Dorothean sister, actually, at that point. And Our Lady appeared to her and said, our Lord wants devotion, the devotion of my Immaculate, the First Saturday's devotion, okay? And why? Five First Saturdays. A reason for five? To make reparation for offenses against and the blasphemies against her Immaculate Conception, against her perpetual virginity, against her divine maternity, against those who implant in children indifference, contempt, and even hate of Our Lady, and insults directed against her sacred images. I thought of what was going on last year when they were busting statues here and there. Right there, that's that fifth, insult against Our Lady. And what do? Go to confession within the octave, before or after. Receive Holy Communion on the first Saturday. Pray five decades of the Rosary, and keep Our Lady company for 15 minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary, you know. And she promised to assist all those who practice the devotion on five when the grace is necessary for salvation at the hour of death. Not a bad deal when you think about it, right? You know?
Yeah,
but we tell people, don't stop at five. Make this part of your devotional life, okay? Do the first Fridays consistently. Do the first Saturdays. We here at the Blue Army Shrine, we have a vigil going on tonight. We do an all-night vigil on this first Friday, first Saturday weekend. Where, you know, they're very important. The Sacred Heart and Immaculate Heart are tied together. And we always have our big events for first Saturday because, you know, this is important. This is a very important part of the Fatima message. And I believe once it's fulfilled sufficiently in the eyes of God, you will see things really change and open up. And I think it's really happening, despite what we're sitting in right now and witnessing and are subject to. I believe that again, as I said before, it's darkest right before the dawn, you know.
No doubt about it. All right, well, Dave, let's grab a call or two if you want to join us. It's 888-914-9149. Jennifer is in Illinois. Jennifer, hi, you're on the air with David Carollo.
Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, thank you. Hi, I wanted to make a comment that I have studied Fatima. I've received actually a cure, what I believe to be a cure at a Fatima shrine in New York. I wanted to say I've also studied the coronavirus pandemic. I'm a medical professional. I'm a published scientist. And I'm here to tell you people, this is COVID-19 scam is kind of world government. And that is what is going on. And
well,
we need
to
do the first Saturdays. And I'm going to tell you, my heart was broken when I went to, I always went to my local,
right,
not my parish, but a nearby parish that had a whole setup Saturday morning thing. You could go, you could do the whole thing. Well, they, you know, for the pandemic, they're not doing the confession part.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah.
I just moved away. I'm in my car. I'm sobbing.
Okay. All right. Well, Jennifer, let me let David respond to you. Thank you for your passion. And I'm with you. I mean, gosh, find a confession if you can. So critical. But David, I'll let you respond to what she brought up.
Keep in mind, evil people will always take advantage of situations, okay? And that's, I've heard the term, never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, you know what? This was taken and run with in a huge way. You know, whether it's overblown, somewhat of a scam, I don't know. I'm not a medical professional, but I will say this, that this has certainly been used to subjugate the church, and it's horrible. And what we're telling people as far as the first Saturdays, if in fact you can't get to confession, you can't get to communion, although that's opened up pretty much in most places now, you know, you make that act of contrition, you make that spiritual communion, and believe me, God will suffice, okay? He doesn't hold you to something you can't do. So I would say to anybody, you do your best to be there. But yes, it's a horrible time. I mean, what churches being closed down is a scourge, just absolutely a scourge. And it's we've done our best here to stay open, but we have a beautiful outdoor shrine that seats 1,500 under the roof, and thank God we have that because we had a lot of masses from, you know, as soon as they were opened up again at the end of April throughout until it got too cold to be up there. And even then, we have heaters. So we keep it going because that's the important thing, the mass, the sacrament.
So,
without that, we have nothing.
Yeah, and I'm totally with you. Look, this is a special year, too. It's the year of St. Joseph, right? And
yes,
for those who don't know, when we talked first, you know, first Saturday devotion, I think it's a great thing to engage in. I know they can find more at your website. I think it's, what's your best web address? BlueArmy.com?
BlueArmy.com. Come to our website. It has all the explanations of the first Saturdays. It has all the explanation. The Year of St. Joseph. Go to BlueArmy.com/Year of St. Joseph, and there's a lot of explanation up there.
But yeah, let's talk about that because, you know, I know Our Lady, St. Joseph has appeared in Knock. That was a silent apparition in Ireland.
Right.
But then appeared in Fatima, that famous, you know, October 13th, 1917 vision when the sun spun and all those people were gathered. This is his year. This is the year of St. Joseph, you know? I mean, what an extraordinary year. I know God has a special place for him. What was his role there? What was he, you know, what did he do in that apparition? I know he was silent there as well, but what was he carrying or have? Or what do we take away from his role in Fatima?
His role in Fatima is just like his role in the history of the church, if you think about it, okay? How many words of St. Joseph are recorded? not zero. Single one.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that tell you? His strong silence speaks volumes. And at Fatima, he was there holding the child Jesus, blessing the world with Our Lady to his left. Okay. That's what it is, the head of the Holy Family, the powerhouse, the strength of the family, the strength of the church, and the strength of devotions and apostolates like ours. So he is the father of this apostolate, and that's why in this year we're highlighting everything with our first Saturday devotions and speakers and all that. We are following. It's all in the light of Saint Joseph and his devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart.
And you and I are going to be together too, David. I know that Father Rocky is going to be leading a rosary. I'm going to be leading the Chapel of Divine Mercy. I think you're going to be talking about St. Joseph and...
St. Joseph and Fatima. Yeah, absolutely. That's at the conference. And I'm very, very honored to be part of it.
Because March 19th. For anyone who doesn't know, I heard the ads running on the air the other day. If you go to... what is the website? TheYearOfSt.Joseph.org. Not .com, but .org. TheYearOfSt.Joseph.org. You can find out more. Father Rocky's going to be there. Bishop Ricken. A whole litany of people will be a day dedicated to St. Joseph on the Solemnity. And I believe, you know, that Mass is going to be broadcast globally. Yeah. And it's going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to seeing you there. So, you and I got to get together again. I can't wait till we can do it. It's always fun to hang out with you. So we'll grab another caller, too. I have a minute here left, so I want to respect those who've called in and see if we can get them on the air. Susan in Chicago, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks so much, Drew. Yes, and David Carolla, I've been to the shrine in Washington, New Jersey a few times, and I know Rosemary Burton, and so I just love it, but I would like everyone to get there. My comment kind of question is, because we forget things and we can't get places every first Friday, what day is this, what first Friday is it, how many times did I go, that we just make a promise to go every first Saturday and every first Friday, every month, and then we'll never forget. How about that?
It becomes a habit. And that's what we have to do. And we're saying to Our Lady, we're devoted to what you want for these first Saturdays. And darn it, we want other people to do it. Well, let's set the example for them. And if we have family members and friends who aren't doing it, let's do it for them until such time that they pick up and become part of it. So you're right. It needs to be a habit. And it needs to be a monthly thing that we don't think twice about.
That's awesome.
We have it in our schedule. And it's very, very important.
All right. Well, Peter, I don't know where that came from. Peter's online. He's the next call up, but I don't think I have enough time. Off-air caller says, if you can't make it to Mass on Saturday, can you still do first Saturday devotion? Can you do it Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you look at, you know, obviously God doesn't expect us to do things we cannot do. Okay, let's be realistic. So in this time of shutdowns and all of that, you do the best to do it. I mean, I know I can't, you can speak to any priest, but you just, you know, your intention is to be there. Can you offer your communion? Most certainly. I mean, again, God doesn't expect the impossible. What he wants is our efforts to do the best we can. Okay, so that's really where it's at. Our Lady, you know, wants us to, you know, look to her, follow her example, and be part of this. Because, believe me, you know, following her prescription for life is really the key to winning. And that's why we have all these resources on our website, BlueArmy.com. Come join, you know, sign the pledge that Sister Lucia worked with our founder in 1947, okay? And that pledge is you become part of this organization, and at BlueArmy.com you can find your way to it, join the apostolate, it'll show you everything. Become part of this movement. It's a movement that we believe helped bring down communism in Russia, you know, 30 years ago, not completely, but brought it down. The errors had already spread. Let's work on the other parts of the world, and this country in particular that needs to be converted. It's very important.
Well, David, thank you for being here. Great to have you on the air with me. It's always a pleasure to share this time with you and help promote Our Lady and really these important devotions. So keep up your good work. You and I will catch up again soon, okay?
Yep.
Hang on. I'll talk to you during the break, okay, because I've got a short break coming
up
here
in
just a second. Again, BlueArmy.com. Of course, you can find David and this conversation or missed any part of it by going to RelevantRadio.com and checking out my podcasts. Mortgage rates, are they heading north? Huh? What's going to happen? in the days ahead. Lumber prices are soaring. Gas is soaring. Peter Grandage will be stopping by. Then we'll take a look at masks. A lot of states abandoning that mandate. We'll take a look at that more right after this. This is about bringing Jesus Christ to others. It's about giving hope to people who don't have any.
We're talking about the life and death of souls here. This is high-stakes stuff.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
It's full on. I found my way back to God.
Relevant Radio.